This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And Michelle and I have been using MEI and Mouse Fan Travel for a combined total of 15 years. And we go to them because we know that they are the best in the business and they always treat us right. They are a fee-free agency, so we encourage you to also try them. Go visit them at MEI-travel.com or MouseFanTravel.com. And also brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes. When we say hospitality has a new name and we say it's All Star Vacation Homes, that's because they know what hospitality is all about. Their homes are beautiful, they're well furnished, and we encourage you to go see them. So visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com.
My name is Maggie. I love Mike and I listen to the Mickey Mouse Podcast. I will see you in my voice.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 190 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Michelle Scribner-McLean, and with me on the show is birthday boy, Mike Scopa. Mike, how was your birthday?
Really? Oh, that's right. Pretty good.
Do you like what I got you?
Oh, I mean, they're indescribable. I can't begin to describe. I'm looking forward to next year, though, because next year's birthday will put me in a different running class.
Oh, boy.
And I'll be at the bottom of another running class, and that's always good because I seem to do better when I'm at the bottom of a running class than at the top.
So you'll have a few years to beat all those other people?
Well, to try to beat those other people, yes.
Okay. So I have a shout-out today, and the shout-out is to a buddy of ours. I think you've met her, Mike. Her name is Carol Lewis, and she's from the U.K., and
yes,
really nice lady. We've met Carol and we've met her husband Richard, and Carol is does a lot of fundraising in the UK for cancer research, and she is doing the walking as part of a team for cancer research in the UK Relay for Life. And Mike, I know you've seen these pictures before. This whole group of people, it's not just Carol, because that might be a little creepy, they decorate bras. And they wear bras that are, you know, different themes and run these races in their bras. And she is working diligently on decorations for her Pirates of the Caribbean bra that she's going to wear. So I know she's going to post really cool pictures. I hope she does. And it's a great cause. And I'm sure it calls a lot of attention to a great cause in the UK. So shout out to Carol.
Yes, Carol's been doing this for a long time. And
she's braver than I wouldn't
just
do it.
Just amazing, the passion that she has for this. And I think we met her a few years ago. And I know I have some pins somewhere that she gave
me. Yes, she did.
And it just keeps growing and growing. And I do recall seeing some photos of some of the runners.
Yes,
and
thousands.
Men and women, right?
I don't know if the men are wearing
bras, too. I
thought I
saw men
too,
wearing bras, but it was really it's
that
really
could be
something.
A whole other show.
And hey,
maybe
you know,
we'll have Carol on.
whatever brings attention to whatever needs attention is it's all good.
Yeah. So, you ready for today's show?
I am ready.
All right. Maybe you can use your birthday gift. We're recording this before
really?
Mike's actual birthday, so he has no idea what birthday gift he got, but he's going to like it, folks. We have on the show today a friend of the show. His name is John Beal. And John, we hear from John a lot on Twitter, but he works at one of my favorite places to go, the YMCA. I spend an awful lot of time at our local YMCA. And he works at the YMCA in downtown Phoenix. And before we tell you why he's on the show, I just wanted to say welcome, John.
Thank you. It's great to be on.
It must be so fun working for the Y.
You never know what day, like each day is going to hold. It is a lot of fun, especially with summer camp happening. And sometimes you get to kind of be a chaperone to some of the field trips. So you never know what you're going to do. We went surfing last week.
Oh my
just
gosh.
Part of the job.
Surfing in Arizona.
Well, they had like one of those fake surfing
things.
Oh,
okay. I was thinking I didn't know my geography as well as I thought I did. So, John, can you tell us what your race experience is doing Disney races?
My first Disney race was the anniversary marathon back in 2013. And then I did the Dopey this past spring. And I moved out to Arizona recently from the Midwest. And when you're from the Midwest, you always go to the Orlando Park. And now that I'm just a drive over to the California parks, and they have now, what, 4 races? I can tell you that I'm signed up for almost all of them. I'm excited to kind of see the differences in them.
Oh, that's great. Have you been to Disneyland?
What's that?
Have you been to Disneyland?
Yes. Oh, cool. I just took my first visit in April, and I'm signed up for Star Wars and the Disneyland Double Dare, and already made my DVC reservations for Tink, so I'll be doing that one too.
That's great. So the reason that we had John on the show is he took the time to write a really cool note to us about something that he's doing. He's working on a project with his YMCA to kind of retool a 5K and a half marathon. So first of all, why don't you tell us traditionally what the 5K has been about and the half marathon, when it is, and then we'll talk about what you decided to do with it.
All right. So the YMCA has, in Phoenix, the oldest running road race in Arizona. This is its 46th year, and they have a 5K and a half marathon as part of a big fundraiser for the Valley of the Sun YMCAs, and it's just been pretty popular in the every year, and it's in beautiful South Mountain Park, which is this park with all these different mountains and stuff. So it's a pretty course to go on. It's every October, and the proceeds go towards some of our outreach.
Oh, that's cool. So how many runners run this race before we get into what you did or what you're doing with the race?
So all in all, we have normally 1,000-ish runners per year. And we're really trying to get to the point where we're breaking fire code almost, where we're going to have to change venue. So this year, our goal is 1,200 maybe.
That's wonderful. So what you decided to do is, just like Mike and I, we like to think about what makes Disney races special. You have decided to take your non-Disney race and kind of Disney-fy it, right?
Yes. So Disney has definitely raised the bar for all races at this point. If you do a Disney race and then you go back to like these local races, it's almost, you can't do it. You know, you're kind of like, what's going to be around this corner? Oh, just nothing? All right. So, you want to get to that point where if you can't go to Disney races every year, maybe you can have something that will be almost just as fun.
Okay, so let's break it down and talk about what you're doing. Mike, do you have a question?
In your letter, you talk about all the challenges that you face and how you're trying to do whatever you can to make this a very enjoyable running experience for the runners. And being a runner yourself, you know what you like and what you like to see on a course. And I wanted to ask you about the entertainment aspect of putting a race together. What have you done? What kind of challenges did you look at? And what were your objectives in putting entertainment together for your races?
Yeah, so I guess I'll go back a bit and say that in the past couple of years, I've run the race, and the race was being put on by non-runners. And you can kind of change, you can tell there's a little bit of a difference between when a race is put on by non-runners and runners. And the entertainment is a big one. So us runners, we know that you need those course entertainment along the race, pumping you along. Every time you see a person, you probably pick up that pace just a little bit each time. And so this year with, now that I'm involved in it, I'm definitely trying to get the entertainment along the course. And one thing that you have to do, which is kind of definitely out of your comfort zone, is you have to go to these big bands or cool things that might play at parties or events and go in with a big ask of, hey, I know that you guys play for sometimes like Vegas clubs or you do weddings and stuff, but how about you come to a park at 6 a.m. in the morning and you play for a whole bunch of runners and we don't pay you. So, and if they say yes, then you've done your job, which is difficult, but it's really rewarding. And the runners are going to love that. So one thing that we have done is we went to this big 13-piece steel drum band, which is just wonderful. They're called the Desert Winds. They play in the area, and we asked them to be kind of our finish line band to bring it on home, you know, pump up that runner's high, take it to the next level. And they said yes. And so one of those things that we're going to have is a couple different bands along the course. And then once you get to that finish line, you're going to have, you know, wonderful calypso music, just kind of, I don't know the right words for that. I'm kind of sorry.
No, it's okay. I know that one of the things I look forward to at the end of Disney races is that gospel group that's at the end of the half marathon and the marathon. Yeah. So yeah, calypso music would be really fun. Have you gone to? I know that having done Disneyland races, a lot of times because they're running outside of the parks, they have community groups like Hawaiian dancers, Mexican dancers. Sometimes they have Boy Scout and Girl Scout troops out there. Have you gone to any of those groups?
Well, we're working on it. A lot of like the best. So if you're planning a race for kind of the local community, a lot of the best place to go to are the high school groups. You know, you've got the bands, there's dance groups, etc. But being in the summer, they're a little hard to contact when those groups are not in session right now. But there's a lot of different organizations that are just community bands, community players. And yes, we're definitely working on getting some just kind of the wildest and most random things along there that you might not see every day. One perfect thing that we definitely took advantage of is we just had our Phoenix Comic Con. And so we went there and trying to find people who've got something big. Maybe it's not something you see every day, but, you know, different groups. Like, we have a big Ghostbusters group who have, like, movie-quality costumes and, you know, a car that actually is it looks exactly like from the movie. So we were able to kind of contact them, and we're really trying to get them on the course as well, along with a lot of different there's actually a group out here in Phoenix that has, again, movie-quality Star Wars costumes, and we had been working on trying to get them come along the course and for the 5K and to take pictures with the kids and cheer people along way before the Star Wars race was even announced. So we kind of, we like to say we put that idea in Disney's brain.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you did.
But
is the 5K run at the same time as the half?
Well, it's along the same course, but it starts half an hour later. So it's a little bit more relaxed. All the kids can go at their own pace. You're not going to be worried about getting run over.
John, do you have an expo for this assortment of races? And if so, is it the first time is this the first time that these races are having an expo?
We don't have an expo as much as we do have a vendor village at the race. Okay. So we will have our packet pickup location we're going to have a packet pickup about 5 days, different days, the week of, just in different places. So Monday, it might be at a running store. Tuesday, it might be at a nutrition shop, stuff like that. So you don't have to, you know, pick up your packet the day of, which you definitely can. But we're also going to have a big vendor village, just like the expo there. So you while all the spectators are waiting, they might not see the runners, but they can go and shop for, you know, nutrition stuff. And we're actually going to have a cosmetics booth there that's going to sell kind of great things for your feet and things that'll relax your muscles via, like, do it by doing massages and giving like bath bombs that'll help kind of give a nice soak after a run. So we're going to have a cool table like that. So we will have an expo per se, but it'll be at the race.
Well, that's neat. So you also talked about developing signs along the course too, to kind of help get people moving. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So one of our opportunities to make it fun is that the race is a down and back race. And unfortunately, you are not able to get too many people along the course spectating. And as we runners know, we love seeing those people along the race with the signs. So those funny signs that maybe you haven't seen before. However, we can't bring the people out on the race. So it's like, well, why can't we put signs out there? So we made up all sorts of different signs. We got them made, commissioned by this really nice printer. And we're going to go out that morning and stick out these really funny signs that you'll still get to. It's almost like the race is pumping you on, like, itself. The race has a voice with these signs. similar to kind of how the Sharpie had those signs a couple years ago at the marathon, except it won't be sponsored. It'll just have really funny sayings and whatnot, which is something that we're still trying to give the runners. Even though you can't get it from the spectators, we'll give it to you.
Very cool. So can you tell what some of the signs are?
Oh my gosh. So the one of them that I had never seen before, but I Googled one time and I saw it. It says like sightseeing tour, 13.1 miles, 1 to 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll be like the first sign you see, and you're like, oh, maybe, I don't know, it's a sightseeing tour. So
I'm wondering, like, if I were setting up a race, how if, you know, say you have 10 things, would you have one thing at every mile? How are you figuring out where to put signs and where to put entertainment? I know you have your steel drum band at the end. So how do you space it out? I'm sure it has to do with the, you know, if you're running by people's yards, you can't put things there. So what are you looking at in terms of spreading all this out on the race course?
Well, that's a really great question. The first mile and a half of the down and back, like it's 6.5 miles down, 6.5 miles back. So the first mile and a half is going to be shared from the half marathon and the 5K. And so with that 5K, we're trying to really make this, you know, a family-friendly race as well. So anything that the kids are going to love to do, such as like if we really do get a lot of those costume groups, you know, that's going to be something that's going to be in the first mile and a half. It's going to be shared by the 5K. Anything that might be half marathon oriented might be towards the end. We also kind of want to have like a big halfway party. So anything that's really, really special, we might put at the halfway point and kind of been like, you're halfway there, keep going, and might have like a party. Otherwise, the ones of us who have run the race before, we know where it gets hard because it's a tough course. It's got some hills on there. It's a good challenge. So, you know, miles 8 through 11, we do know that you need a lot of inspiration and a lot of, you know, cheering on. So that definitely does play a part on when we're going to be putting the race, like, entertainment along the course. So yeah, 8 towards 11, I wouldn't be surprised if the miles 8 through 11 have a lot more than the other ones. So otherwise, we try and space it out pretty evenly.
So, John, I've always wanted to ask a race director this question because in the 2007 Walt Disney World Half Marathon, they ran out of water. And for about 15 or 20 minutes, for some reason, they ran out of water and medals. And it was kind of frustrating for a lot of people. I happened to finish early enough so that I was able to get water and refreshments. So I wanted to ask you, how do you determine well, first off, are you going to be giving anything to the runners at the end of the race? And how do you determine how many supplies you need for that?
Yes, that's kind of what's going on right now, because we will be giving out medals to not just the half marathon, but the 5K, because, you know, kids are definitely encouraged to do our race. We even have kids rates that you don't have to pay full price for the kids to do the half marathon and 5K to get them involved. And they love taking home those medals as well. So we wanted to have a 5K medal for the kids. And we actually have to have them, even though the race isn't out until October, we need to know our medal count by mid-July. So it's kind of hard to predict how many people you're going to have. And what I'm thinking is, well, it's almost like a Price is Right game. You want to get just the right amount of people, because each medal might be $3 or $4, and every medal that you overcount, you're losing $3 or $4 that would normally be going to, you know, our outreach. So my thinking is I would hate to have too little. So anything, I want to aim high and almost add like 20% than what we're expecting, just in case you do get those extra people. I would hate to run out of medals, or especially water, because then it's a safety concern. So really, you want to go on like the high side. And if you have an extra 200 bottles of water or really like 1,000 bottles of water, you can still find places to allocate those. So anything, just shoot over. And, you know, we have extra medals every year, but we give those out to the summer camp kids whenever they play games and whatnot. We find uses for that. But it is difficult, especially when mid-July you have to kind of start knowing your numbers for something that, you know, 80% of the people won't sign up till the last 6 weeks. So it's a guessing game. That's one of the hardest things. It really comes down to budgeting. It affects you in that way.
And how are you encouraging spectators to be a part of this?
We are actually going to start kind of busing people around to the two different drop-off points of the race. Now, it is in a park that you go up one side of the lane and come back, and there aren't really too many ways to get to the race course unless you're running in it. So we're going to get there real early and kind of have a shuttle that'll drop you off in certain parts that will have water and porta potties and whatnot, so you're not just stranded out in the middle of the desert. So we're going to have a lot of things for spectators to do. If you're not, if your runner might have another extra hour until they come, we're going to have a cool vendor village and a kids village and lots of stuff to do there. And one thing that we're trying to do that maybe I think Disney should actually take advantage of a little bit or look into is actually maybe the spectator can't see their runner for more than a couple minutes, but what are they going to do for the next couple hours? So we have lots of cool activities for the spectators to do, because we want the whole family there, not just the runner. So we're going to make it fun for the whole family as they watch their mom or dad run. We have a photo booth that's going to be giving out free pictures and a whole bunch of like obstacle courses and bounce houses and even a rock wall.
Oh, wow. Very cool. So are you using the fact that you have all this wonderful entertainment this year to boost your race registrations? Are you advertising this?
Yes. Now, part of it, you actually do want it to be a little surprise at the end for the runner, such as our steel drum band. You know, we haven't been publicizing it too much because we'd love to have a lot of runners not know that it's coming, because it's not going to be there when they start the race. It's going to be there when they finish. And I kind of want some little things like that to be surprises, but we want to advertise how this is going to be bigger and better than ever before. You know, we all know that 5Ks and half marathons are popping up like crazy. We are trying to make sure that this race is a race for, you know, that you're going to want to do. This is the one you go to.
So if you had an unlimited budget and you could choose one thing to make your race more like a Disney race, what would that thing be?
I think I would definitely go with getting as much live music along the race. So if you could just go to the high schools and say, look, I will give you a huge grant for your music program. However, I need, you know, your drum line, your marching band, your color guard, you know, all sorts of different clubs that you have. I need them that morning, and they're gonna drop off every half mile and you know, do what they do to kind of just provide entertainment, something to look at, so you're not just looking at the road.
I want to ask that same question to my co-hosts. We do a lot of local races. If you could buy one or add one thing to a non-Disney race to make it a Disney race, what would it be?
I think that John's hit the nail on the head. I think it's entertainment. I think that if
what entertainment? Would it be music?
Oh, well, you know, John mentioned something earlier in the show, and it's true. I know that when there is a DJ or a band or cheerleaders or music of some kind, I'm kind of running a little bit faster. So characters won't do it for me. Music will do it. So I like the idea of talking to a high school organization and saying, can you get your band down there? And what I would ask is I would say, I don't need your whole band in one spot. I need maybe percussion here. I need a few people playing, you know, horns here. I need the drummers over here to spread it out. So I think that's the difference. I think that Disney recognizes how much of a boring thing it is to run 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, and after a while you need something. So I think that's the difference between a lot of races and a Disney race.
You know, I think I would do something different. I really got a kick out of when we did our local the BAA 10K. I really like seeing Heartbreak Bill. Heartbreak Bill is from the Heartbreak Hill Running Company, and he's a gorilla. He's named after Heartbreak Hill. And people were high-fiving him, and I think I would spread characters. I think, you know, people can stop and take pictures with the characters, and I think that's what I would do. But that's why Disney races, and yeah. Sounds like John's racer is going to be so cool because it has a lot of different things.
But the difference is, Michelle, is that Disney has all these characters, and what kind of characters does...
I don't know.
You know, is he going to get John McCain out there?
Well,
you know,
sounds like he's got Star Wars people. John McCain.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's a lot easier to get music out there than it is to get, you know, John McCain out there.
I don't know. I just think people would get a kick out of that. But yeah. Anyway.
Fortunately, there's all sorts of, you know, at baseball games and stuff, they're not the Disney characters, but, you know, if one out of every 50 people recognize those people, maybe that's going to be what makes their race. So there's, if you can contact those people who go to baseball games, and again, being in Phoenix, which is such a large city, there's so many people who have great, like, cosplay costumes that you just need to take advantage of and be like, hey, I love how you make such a great costume for, you know, I can't even think of anything right now, like a lot of these sci-fi things. How would you like, or your Doctor Who costumes and props, would you like to come and, you know, cheer on people? I know that people would love taking pictures with you. So, yeah, they might not be Disney characters. They may be a little bit more obscure, but I think if you know where to look, it'd be easy to find some good characters there.
Yeah, that's cool. So what is the cost of your race?
So we decided to get those kids involved, the whole family, why should it cost, you know, the same amount for an adult to run the 5K as a kid? So we have kids races or kids rates as well, because, you know, this is the family activity, the family fun run. So we have the 5K for the adults is $30. With the kids, it's just going to be $20. And as far as a kid, this is just anyone under 18. So really, like, your teenagers, you know, Liam could run it too, and it wouldn't cost, you know, $200 for a whole family of four to do it. That's the half marathon, just $55 for an adult and $30 for a youth.
Well, that's a pretty good price. Will you have gel stop too?
Yes, we'll have all sorts of goos and everything, and everyone's going to get a shirt, which is one of the moisture wicking shirts, and a really cool medal.
Well, this is really neat, and I saw the medal. You sent a picture of it. We'll put it in our show notes too. But if people want to sign up, John, how would they sign up to do this non-Disney race that's been Disneyfied?
Whyracephoenix.com.
Okay, great. Yeah. We'll put that in our show notes too. So, co-host, do you have any additional questions?
No, I just want to commend you, John. It sounds like you've got a lot of passion for this and that you wanted to up the value of the experience for the runners, and I just want to give you props for that.
Well, thank you. Yeah. One last thing I want to mention is that there are a couple things that you think that, like, because it's a smaller local race, you can do things that Disney can't do, such as we're having a huge kids village for the runners, because again, if you're, you know, a parent and you're thinking about all the different, if you're going to choose one half marathon to do over the fall, you might have some big ones, but why do you have to hire a sitter just to run a half marathon at, you know, 6 a.m? So one thing that I think that all races and, you know, a Disney race could benefit from is actually having free or, you know, even a cheaper childcare with, you know, we have the YMCA certified childcare specialist there to watch the kids as they have fun. So get the whole family there. It kind of gives the value. The parents know the kids are going to be at the end. We can have a full day after this. And so that's just another thing that if I had to make a suggestion to Disney, I think that having the childcare there, you know who's going to be watching them. They're going to be safe, and they'll probably have even more fun than you will.
That sounds great. Well, we wish you lots of luck, and we hope that you post pictures in October, and love to hear how well the race goes, because it sounds like it's going to be very successful. So am I going to see you at the Dumbo Double Dare weekend?
Absolutely. You'll see me there, and we'll then see me in January.
That sounds great. Well, good luck, and thanks for taking the time to write in and telling us all about your race. And so thanks, John Beal, from the Arizona YMCA, downtown Phoenix YMCA.
Well, thank you. It's your fault that I'm now doing this, though. You know, they kind of knew that I listened to this marathon show that talks about what makes a good race versus bad race. And then that's how I was recruited into this. It's all back to you guys.
Well, I like when you wrote into us that you said that it makes you enjoy going into work. I'm sure you do anyway, working for the Y, but it's kind of fun to have a project like this.
So. Yeah, to have a passion project.
That's right. So for John Beal from the Downtown Phoenix YMCA, for my co-host Mike Scopa, this is Michelle Scribner-McLean, and we'll see you on the road.
This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast has been brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes, where hospitality has a new name. And why do we say that? These homes are beautiful. They are beautifully furnished. They're right around the corner from Walt Disney World. You will be amazed at your experience. So give them a try. Go to www.allstarvacationhomes.com, where hospitality has a new name. And, of course, by MEI-Travel and Mousefan Travel. They are the best professionals in the business. They operate a fee-free agency. They have all the information you need to know and to help you put together the best possible Disney vacation, be it Disney World, be it Disneyland, be it Disney Cruise Line, or anything. Give them a try at MEI-Travel.com or MouseFanTravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.